it's certainly the hot topic at the moment. I've had a couple of emails this morning from people saying they were, you know, they're at local RSL and 50% for and 50% against nuclear, but certainly a hot topic for conversation. But somebody who has been banging the drum about nuclear for not just for the last week, but for a number of years now, is the opposition spokesperson on energy, Ted O'Brien, who is on the line now. Good morning, Ted. Morning, Ted.
Good morning, Richard.
Yeah, nice to talk to you. As I said, we've spoken about this issue for a number of years now, and you're not a Johnny-come-lately to nuclear. You've been a fan of nuclear for many, many years now, Ted. Is that correct?
Yeah, Richard, originally, to be honest, I wasn't much, but the more that I learnt and the more that I understood what was happening around the world with other economies being able to deliver cheaper, cleaner, consistent 24/7 baseload power with nuclear, I got very interested. And in my role now as the Shadow Minister for Energy, I've done quite some research, and including overseas comparable economies. And we've drawn the conclusion as a coalition that the only way we're going to keep the lights on is we have to have a balanced mix of technologies. And that does include renewables. It includes gas. But when coal retires from the system, we believe it should be replaced with a similar baseload power source. And the only one which is zero emissions that you can put on the Australian mainland at scale is nuclear energy.
Right, okay. You said cheaper power, but at this stage you haven't revealed any cost. I mean, Gary emailed in this morning, could you please ask Ted for a ballpark figure on projected costs of building nuclear reactors in Australia? Then at least the conversation can go forward. It's all hit and miss and secrecy at the moment. I mean, and you also revealed yesterday, speaking to David Spears on ABC TV Insiders, there could be multiple reactors at some of these locations, Ted.
Yeah, so a couple of things there, Richard. Firstly, on the latter point, that is our plan. We have identified seven locations, and it's not dissimilar to how coal works now, right? You have multiple units. You don't just have one unit, typically. You have multiple units on the one site, on the one plant. It's what happens. It's best practice also of nuclear energy around the world. You might have one site or one plant, but you would have multiple units on the plant. It's one of the ways you do get costs down, by the way, because you basically have a workforce, skills, materials all rolling on to at least a second unit. I mean, if you take Liddell, for example, you know, if Liddell were to be one of our establishment projects, or one of the first projects, then it depends on the technology, but, you know, if, as an example, if you use the AP1000s, which is the Westinghouse design, for the establishment project...
This is a nuclear reactor you're talking about. This
correct.
Is Westinghouse design, right? Okay.
Yeah, correct. You could probably put two there as part of the establishment project, and they're both 1.1 gigawatts each. So, and that's only an example, right?
Okay.
I mean, ultimately, we would be relying on an independent nuclear energy coordinating authority to do the right feasibility studies to advise government. But just to give people a feel, because, and it's fair enough, people are after a bit of a feel for
when you talk about cheaper, cheaper energy, we surely need to know how much it's going to cost. I mean, David Littleproud yesterday on Sky News threw out, he referred to it as a ballpark figure of $8 billion per unit. And surely as somebody who's been working on this for a number of years now, Ted, you've got a fair idea about what it's going to cost.
No, indeed, we do, Richard. And what we have said, though, is at one, our focus is what is the price that is going to be paid by consumers. We wanted to focus on getting prices lower. Now, to do that as part of a balanced energy mix, you've got to account for the network costs, you've got to account for, you know, renewables, gas, nuclear. And because we haven't yet released those other aspects of our policy, we're not going to be revealing the entire economics behind our plan until we've done that.
Yeah, but surely...
Now, look, I understand people are calling for it, but I mean, you know, last term of government, it would have been about February when Labor, February timeframe, when Labor came out for the last election with its net zero plan. It wasn't until December that they released the economics. So, you know, I mean, we released the locations last week. There is more to release, including on the nuclear plan, and we have promised that we will release the economics before the next election, and that will be very soon, okay, by the way. And Richard, Labor still has it. So if any of your listeners knows Labor's cost for its energy plan, please let me know, because they've never released it. They're actually in government. Even their capacity investment scheme, which is underwriting industrial-scale renewable projects, they refuse to tell the Australian people what the cost is. Right. We are committing to tell the Australian people and before the election, but what we are saying is, can you just allow us, please, to get our policy out in full, because what counts is
I mean, Peter Dutton said you're going to drip feed this. We get little bits and pieces every now and then. But back to what you said earlier about a balanced energy mix, whether it be, you know, nuclear, renewables, gas. David Littleproud was speaking over the weekend as if nuclear is replacing renewables.
No, so they will work together. They are complementary.
Yeah, well, he did, you know, maybe he's talking to, you know, regional electorates, but he was basically inferring that nuclear will replace renewables, will stop the renewable rollout because we're planning for nuclear. But that's not the case, you're saying?
We're going to need renewables. We're going to need gas. We're going to need nuclear as coal comes out. If anything, Richard, zero emissions nuclear energy replaces coal, but we don't want to force premature closure of coal plants. And so what we're saying is, when coal does exit the mix, so when it leaves, it retires, those plants retire, then we should be having zero emissions nuclear
energy.
And that's because it's baseload power, right? It's 24/7.
Sure. And under your plan, you still reckon you will get to zero emissions by 2050, Ted?
To be honest, Richard, I believe ours is the only plan.
Right. And what about the safety factor? I mean, one of them's planned for Liddell here in the Hunter Valley. We had an earthquake, of course, which caused extensive damage and people lost lives. We're on a fault line. Obviously, the safety with these nuclear reactors in 2021 is better than, say, Chernobyl and Three Mile Island. You know, safety is a huge issue, but we shouldn't be concerned about the modern nuclear reactors.
No, Richard, and it's a very fair question. There are countries and parts of countries. So, you know, I say a part, like, you know, let's say the west coast of the US, for example, you know, Taiwan and other places where they are far more seismically active than Australia has ever been. It's been one of the reasons why people have, for decades, talked about Australia should actually have nuclear because it's just so stable. And these plants, you're right, these plants are built to withstand any shock for the very reason, you know, you can imagine, right? Which is why we haven't had any problems.
Right, and what about the waste? I believe in France they actually recycle their waste and separate the uranium and use it again. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's interesting. And we have a nuclear reactor, as you know, Richard, in Sydney for medical purposes. We send a lot of our waste from there to France, actually, and they reprocess, they separate certain elements and so forth. So our plan is to be the same as best practice internationally, which means you have spent fuel stored on site for the life of the asset, and then it transfers to a permanent repository. And when it comes then to where that permanent repository is, the Albanese Labor government is currently trying to settle on a location because they will be needing to store the spent fuel from our nuclear-propelled submarines. And the way the UK does it is basically you go to the same location is what their plan is to, right? So the spent fuel from your nuclear subs goes to a permanent repository, same location as your spent fuel from your nuclear power plants. So again, we've done the research internationally. It's best practice, and we've been managing. Of course, we already are a nuclear nation. We've been managing a nuclear reactor now for nearly 70 years, and successfully managing the waste. We've got a very successful regulator. we are considered best in practice, actually, when it comes to our regulation of that reactor internationally by the International Atomic Energy Agency. So we've certainly done all the plans on this, Richard. You know, even for us to come out with locations, we are being as transparent, far more transparent, I think, than any government ever, opposition, or government ever has been. Again, Labor can't tell you where their 28,000 kilometres of transmission lines are going to be.
Yeah, well, look, just on the transmission lines, I noticed the energy regulator down in Tasmania said that, look, were it not for the fact that we've got to replace a lot of our transmission lines, the cost of energy or electricity in Tasmania would have gone down next year. But because they've got to replace transmission lines, we had the incident down in Victoria near Geelong where an extreme weather event caused transmission towers to collapse, and then it came out that the average age of those transmission towers is 40 years. I mean, to be fair, a lot of the transmission system is going to have to be replaced anyway, Ted.
Oh, there's no doubt that's going to be a running situation no matter what, Richard. Our point, though, is what Labor wants to do is built up to 28,000 kilometres, not of, you know, upgrades, of new transmission lines. And so if you get your power bill at home right now, your biggest line item, the biggest expense, is the poles and wires, is the network charges. Yeah. And this is one of the reasons why nuclear brings prices down, right? Because you avoid the biggest component on your bill doesn't skyrocket for what will happen under Labor.
Well, I mean, that's a moot point. I mean, a lot of it might have to be replaced anyway, Ted, because of its age now. And look, the other thing is, too, very quickly, because we'll have to wrap it up and we're about to bump into the news, you couldn't give an indication of what sort of percentage of the Australia's power requirements would be replaced by nuclear, and surely that's a concern for people who are looking at investing in other forms like renewables or gas or whatever.
On the contrary, Richard, what we've said is we'll be very clear in terms of the broader energy mix, including...
Yeah, but not till after the election, you said yesterday.
No, that's not right, actually, Richard, to be honest, mate. No, what I said actually yesterday, it was on Insiders.
Yes.
Was we'll do that before the election, but again, we are announcing our policies in pieces, which is what oppositions always do, right?
Yes.
I mean, there's enough that we've chewed off today just based on what we have announced.
Yeah, so, yeah.
But we will talk about the energy mix as a whole.
All right.
So that'll come in due course, and it'll come before the election. And
all
I'll
right.
make the point.
Okay.
To this day, Labor cannot tell you what they're in government.
All right. Look, we'll have to leave it there, Ted, but thank you very much for your time. Look forward to discussing this more in the future, no doubt.